All right, what a pleasure to have the guy. We love him. Ron Wotus. Now, listen, Marty steals him on weekends. I know it. We get it. They have a special deal. River Islands, we know the deal. But every now and then, you got to bring Woe on in the morning,
we
right?
need some Wotus, too.
Yes, we do. So, Ron Wotus, you are more than welcome on
Always.
The Murphy Mac Show.
Oh, yeah.
With all your World Series championships and your takes. Good morning, Woe. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. You guys are the guys. Come on. You get everybody up. You get them going in the day, enjoying themselves, laughing. You guys are the guys. Let's go.
Paulie.
Well, this is we got to tell Marty this, too, so he can loosen his grip up a little bit. I'm just kidding, Ron. I'm kidding. Yeah.
I know you.
Well, we appreciate you, man. We appreciate you. We just did a so we do these things at 8 o'clock called the Big Hits, like the big story of the day. And today there was really nothing going on, and, you know, the Giants were off. The Niners didn't do anything. Warriors didn't do anything. So we were saying, with the Giants going to Denver, it inspired all these chills down our spines. We were doing least favorite places we like to see our sports teams play. So that's a long way of asking, Woe, is, you know, I know you got to be a pro about it, and I know you got to go in with a positive attitude, but how gnarly is it to go into Coors Field as a visiting team?
I hate it. How's that?
Yep, see, I knew it.
It's the worst place to go. Look, I mean, when Jim Leland, one of the greatest managers of all time, quits because he can't handle Coors Field, you know there's something wrong with it. So, you know, the only one that likes going are the hitters because, you know, you get fat, you get to pad the stats, the ball flies. But, you know, I've always been a National League guy, and I'm into, you know, the whole game, just not the offense. And when you have a 6-run lead or a 7-run lead like we did one year, I think it was 98 going into the seventh inning, and that evaporated, and then we ended up losing the game on a Nefi Perez home run off of Rob Nen. I mean, the game's never over. It's never over. Right. And then if we want to continue and really bash him, when you're at the hotel, you know, you got to suck on the oxygen. Me, Flan, and Billy Hayes, we had to suck on that oxygen every day because you're lightheaded. You never feel good. And it's tough on the players. So they're younger. It doesn't affect them. But the older you get, the more it affects you, the altitude.
So that's what, you know, it's funny you bring that up, Ron, because I wanted to ask you about that. So we're watching the NBA Finals right now, and they were like Mark Jackson was talking a lot about the altitude. And he said that, you know, Miami coming in here, they're going to act like it's not a factor, but it really is a factor, especially like in the fourth quarter of a basketball game. And I just wonder, you know, you don't hear that talk as much about baseball. You see the balls flying out of the yard. And we know about the altitude, but does it tax you? Like, is it taxing for baseball players also to be up in that kind of altitude?
No question. And, you know, you don't talk about it because you just have to deal with it, right? You're not going to make excuses. But the players definitely feel it. I mean, when you go, that's a vast outfield, too. I mean, it's huge. And when you're running in the gap chasing down balls, you know, guys, the first day or two they get in there, they really are sucking wind. They can feel the altitude. So, and the other thing about it, guys, is, you know, injuries. You know, I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and, you know, the pitchers have a hard time there, obviously, because it's tougher to pitch. But injuries, you know, when you're at that altitude and you get dehydrated, I mean, it gets hot there. As well in the summertime, and you're doing all that running, you're more vulnerable to injury. So it is a difficult place to say, and I think that's part of the reason, you know, the Rockies haven't been in the playoffs all that much.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It's very true. I mean, I don't even like. they can't win there. And you know what's crazy, Ron, is that their home record continually, even in their terrible years, is always almost always a winning record. I was looking at their last several years. They had some bad teams, whoa, and they've still had winning records at home. See? And right now, they're 9 games under 500, but they're winning record at home. So that's the other problem.
Right. Well, it's a huge home field advantage because, you know, you're used to pitching in Oracle Park. You give up 3 runs in the first and you're kicking yourself, you know. I mean, there you have to grind it out. The old saying, you have to play 9 innings because the game is never over.
Yep.
Starting pitchers or any pitchers aren't used to giving up runs and then fighting through it and battling through it because they know they just got to keep their team in the game. You give up 5 or 6 runs, you still got a chance to win the game. And normally that's not the case in most of the other ballparks.
Talking to Ron Wotus, 3-time World Series champ, of course, with the Giants, and it's great to get his takes here on this trip to Colorado. Giants would like to get back going. So, I know, well, you're a 162 guy, you know, and Mosaic with Marty and all that, but, you know, the week, it was not a great homestand. And well, I know it's on to the next game, and it's on to the next, and, you know, but, so I'm sort of balancing two things here. Like, there was a ton of excitement with Casey Schmidt and Pat Bailey for a couple weeks there, and then it seemed to slow this week a little bit. You know, you've been in the clubhouse, and you guys are next pitch mentality, I'm sure. But is there something to it slowed down a little bit, and they're starting to sort of figure out how to make Casey Schmidt and Pat Bailey work for their hits?
Well, I don't think the clubhouse feels that way, or the players. You know, it's just another series for them. You're right. I mean, to lose 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh, and then again to Baltimore is not what they wanted. I mean, they were really on a roll. Felt like they were finding their groove. You know, the bullpen. They were playing real good defense, finding other ways to score besides a home run. And then you lost 2 series. And you know, the number one thing is you want to win series, but. You're right. I mean, Patrick Bailey and Schmitty are going to come down to earth a little bit. Look, what Schmitty has done is just unbelievable. And really, Bales, too. I mean, he didn't put up those big numbers in the minor leagues. And here he comes in, right-handed is his weak side, and he hits the ball out. He crushes it. He's been putting up real good at-bats. Right-handed. But, you know, they'll settle in. The league will adjust to them. But their quality and to do what they've done to give this team a jolt, I don't think anybody's, you know, feeling down at this point in time, but you have to continue to win series and be consistent. Now you got Jock coming back, you got Estrada coming back any day. You know, all of a sudden the roster is getting stronger and stronger, and they should be at full strength for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, for sure. And it gets to be, I mean, I know you're not, that's Farhan's job to make these roster moves, but it's like, I guess it's a good problem to have because there's no obvious ones. Like, all of a sudden the roster gets a little crowded, and that leads us to a guy like Joey Bart, who, you know, I don't know if there's a spot for him right now, the way it's currently constituted. Like, and for him to have to maybe sit at AAA Sacramento for a while, it must be tough on the kid. And it's a lot has been tough on the kid. Your take on sort of, you know, his mentality and his game, because we thought he was playing better, and then Pat Bailey came along and they kind of made the move towards him.
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, Bales has done good. They went on a run with him behind the plate. But Joey's caught extremely well also. You know, we can't forget that. He really has. You know, he's not hitting the ball the way he's capable, and that's really the number one thing. Well, they have a couple of options. I mean, you can always keep Joey and Pat as the catchers and have stable DH and play left field. But again, it's going to be hard to keep 3 catchers when you put all these numbers together. They're going to need the 13 pitchers. I mean, they have bullpen games, it seems like, you know, once or twice a week. So you're going to need the arms. So they're going to be, as you said, the roster is more likely that someone's going to have to go down, and it very well could be Joey. He's going to be on rehab. He'll probably keep him there for a while and hopefully gets going a little bit. And that's the one plus to it. You know, he's been out a while and he hasn't swung the bat the way he's capable really all year, driving the ball with the strength that he has. So maybe he can go down, get his game together, and, you know, it's a long season. He'll be back and maybe he comes back a better hitter and steps right in, so, or forces their hand to take 3 catchers. Because you guys know, there's been so many injuries already, it's just the ebb and flow of the season. But I think to have him sit as the catcher and Bales, him and them split the time, I don't think that's an ideal situation for how they want to have these two guys involved with the major league club. So I think he'll stay in his rehab and see what happens.
Interesting times, man. And a few more minutes here with Ron Wotus, kind enough to hop on. Always great talking to Woe. Did you ever, I know you joined the, I'm trying to do your timeline in your organization. Did you ever encounter the hum baby, Roger Craig, who we lost?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved Roger. Matter of fact, I remember when I was a minor league manager going over to the old Indian school park where the minor leaguers used to train,
yeah.
And there was a trailer, and three of us managers, A-ball, AA, and AAA, we went over and talked to the old, I call him the old big split finger, and he was talking to us about holding runners, because he was one of the first guys that really introduced the slide step and started keeping the watch, and I became very close with Bob Lillis, you know, Flea, and he'd keep the watch. And then I really got to spend a lot of time with him in 1990 or 91. I was in A-ball in San Jose, and we had a tremendous year. We were 92 and 44. And they called me up in September. I don't know how the heck that happened. The A-ball manager, and I traveled the whole month of September with Raj and that whole staff, with Bob Lillis and Fahey and Wendell and the whole group. And Roger treated me great, as did all of them. So I love Roger Craig. Every time I saw him, we had a nice conversation, and it's sad that he's gone.
Yeah, Mike Kruko came on yesterday and said he was the original Ted Lasso.
That's very well put. Yeah. I mean, always positive and upbeat. You know, what a fun guy to be around.
Oh, that was great, man. Hey, last one for you, just infield defense. You're the infield defense guy. We could do an hour with you, 2 hours with you.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Does Casey Schmidt make infield all your fundamentals that you like to teach out the window because all he has to do is just pick it up and throw it at some point?
Throw it 100 miles an hour almost, yeah.
Well, you know, that was the question on, you know, he went through the minor leagues on pure talent, and these guys helped him. But, you know, the tough thing as a coach is, do you, you know, how much do you change him because he's so darn good? But he's actually getting some fundamentals in his game. I mean, Holbert Cabrera worked with him in the minor leagues. I was down there with him. So you just want to chip away at things that where you can make him more consistent, how you feel particular balls without taking away his athleticism and his flair. So he has been doing that. I mean, at shortstop, it was a new, you know, fairly new position, and second's fairly new. So the good news there is you can work on these things when you're teaching him how to play the position, to get him a little more consistent. Of course, the athletic play like Crawford is just going to happen. But no, he's got it all. He could play any position. He's got great arm, obviously accurate, great feet and hands. So he's done really well, and he's going to be a heck of a defender for a long, long time wherever he plays.
Is it an arm unlike any you've seen? Or you've seen him? You know, you've been around a while.
Yeah, no, I think that what I like about him, you know, everybody raves about the arm, and rightfully so, but it's his feet and his hands and his accuracy of his arm. The thing that I love about his arm is obviously his arm strength, but he's accurate, and he throws the ball hard. Not everybody throws the ball, you know, 100% when they throw it over there, but there's been a lot of great arms in the game. Rafael Furcal stands out as one guy that really had a cannon as well. So he's got it all. He's played well, and he's fun to watch.
So great, Ron. Hey, listen, let's not make it long before we talk again. Just love talking ball with
always,
you.
Always, man.
Sunday mornings always. With Marty, we're gonna bring you back into
we'll
the Monday
steal
through
you
Friday.
When we can. Yes.
All right. Well, so good.
Well, hey, I'm happy to come on, and we didn't even get to talk music. So I know that's you guys' favorite thing. So next time we'll have to talk
can we just end it by this? I'm going to end it on this, Woe, and tell you that Paulie Mack. Spent his Saturday afternoon while you guys were tussling with the Baltimore Orioles.
True story.
Paulie Mack was sitting in as the pinch-hitting front man of an Allman Brothers tribute band called Freestone Peaches at the Union Tree Fair. We got Paulie Mack as Greg Allman. That's got to be right up your alley.
That's what I'm doing my free time now.
That's got to be Woe's style, right?
Oh, are you kidding me? Live at Fillmore East. That was my one of my first albums. That's... Great going, Paulie. I love it.
Yeah, Fillmore East. When we did, and you know, I got to tell you, well, we did pretty much most of the songs that are on that album. Do Elizabeth Reed, One Way Out, Statesboro Blues. We got them. In fact, next time we do a gig, you should come try to come out and see us. You would love it. If you like the Almonds, these guys, you would love these guys. They're tremendous.
Would love that. Drop me a line when that comes up.
Awesome, Walt.
So awesome. Great. There you go, right, Ron. Boys. We got some music in. There you go. All right.
All right. I'm going to have a great day now. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man.
Ron Wotus, too. What do you give me for Woe saying? Hit me the line on the Freestone Peaches and Bruce Bochy when I'm coming to San Diego.
Oh, shoot,
yeah,
me.
Shoot me a text.
Maybe one of the great. Well, shoot me a text on the air. By the way, Triple E, next time, just so you know, it kind of goes without saying, but I forgot I should have probably held your hand through this. When we have Ron Wotus on, you always got to bump some Blue Oyster Cult for him.
That's
because remember,
us.
He's got like a connection to BOC.
Well, he's too busy having me do back-to-back trends and no problem.
I heard there was some kind of disruption. Yeah. I was out of the room, but I know something.
If he gives me an opportunity, I'm coming in off the top.
It's a good
rolling
thing they filmed the commercials because everybody saw it, too. So they saw the dust-up. Yeah,
Bill Walton.
Give me some Walton.
Joins Tolbert and Copes today at 3:50 to discuss the new documentary on ESPN. How about that?
I look forward to that, Murph. It'll be a lot of fun. In fact, we have a sneak preview of the 30 for 30 right here.
So many of the songs of the Grateful Dead about the river. The Black Muddy River, Big River.
Well, listen, that's
Do you know who's confirmed in the doc?
Bob Weir.
Take a step back.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all. There's going to be a lot of Grateful Dead stuff. Hell, I might even be in this thing.
And that's Paul on the third one, the guy in the middle.
Paulie Mac.
Kidding aside, I saw Bill when I went down for the Phil Lesh show down in Ventura a couple of months ago. I was hanging out with Bill Walton in the, Murph, don't you know, in the very fancy bar area. And it's just always great to see Bill. Talking life, talking hoop, talking everything with Bill.
I was so touched when he said to pass on his greetings.
He did. Make sure you're sick.
One of the high points of my life, to be honest. Okay, here's the deal. The big news is the PGA Tour, after huge moral objections and saying we will never bow or break or acknowledge the Saudi blood money.
Right.
And all the rebel sentences of Greg Norman.
Where do I sign up?
They just announced they're getting in bed and merging with
just
the LIV Golf
Tour. Just bring me the paperwork and I'll sign off.
Let's get to the bottom of this. LIV Golf is merging with PGA Tour after all this. Mark Cannizzaro of the New York Post next on the Esports Leader. How gnarly is it to go into Coors Field as a visiting team?
I hate it. How's that? It's the worst place to go.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.